Welcome to Under the Circle, all about indies underground music with
DJ Salt T-Nuts. You're about to go downtown, bitch.
With Joe Harris,
Jesse Goforth,
and Justin Staler.
What's up, guys? We're back from our little 2-week break. A lot of interesting things have happened. And it's okay, the mic is on. All right.
Yeah, the mic is on. Yeah. We're so, good.
Winning.
We didn't have to do a round three.
Right? No, yeah.
But yeah, hopefully, you know, everybody's still, you know, riding our bandwagon here. Got some shout outs I want to give because we haven't been able to do them in the past couple of weeks. A couple weeks ago, I went to a show at the Hoosier Dome called Earn It Yourself. And these two people travel around the country to make like local scenes better. And Indianapolis was one of the stops at the Hoosier Dome. And I just want to give them a shout out because it's a really cool idea. Like basically they just brought everybody together and was like, you know, hey, what can you do as a member of the scene to make it better? And, you know, it was probably one of the most genius ideas I think that Indianapolis has had. Like, as far as, you know,
didn't the winning band get, like, a spot on, Warped Tour or something like that?
There was a battle of the bands. There were four bands played. Forevermore, It's All Happening, The Day After, our little buddies in The Day After.
Yeah.
And Don't Call It a Comeback, who actually did win. So congratulations to those guys. They get a chance to play the Indianapolis Day of Warped Tour this year.
Woo! Don't Call It a Comeback one, eh?
Yeah, Don't Call It a Comeback one.
Good Lord, I hate those guys.
All jokes aside, guys. Cody, you know I love you, man. But
they're good.
They're really good dudes. For being as young as they are, I can tell that those kids are going to be on a fucking killing spree.
No, I enjoy Don't Call It a Comeback.
They are really good.
I enjoy it when Cody sends us love on Twitter, which he never does anymore, but anyways. But, oh well.
I don't get it.
Hey, congratulations to Don't Call It a Comeback, but seriously, though.
Congrats to those dudes. Yeah. They're gonna be making some waves here in the next year or so, I can definitely tell. Also, an old bandmate of mine, Jesse Curtis, who was in Ghost of Maine and my old band Massacre of Roanoke, him and the drummer of Ghost of Maine, Adam, have a new project called These City Limits. Check them out. They're fans of Muse. But heavier, really good stuff. Really, really awesome. Really original band.
The City Limits?
These City Limits.
These City Limits. These City Limits. I thought it was The City Limits.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you need to enunciate better.
Yeah,
too,
yeah, I know. I'm kind of failing on that. I haven't done this in a while. My mouth's kind of like, well, that didn't work. Also, I posted this on Facebook, but for those of you who haven't caught it, we have a Tumblr now.
Yep.
No, just underthecircle.tumblr.com. We'll be posting more in-depth album reviews. Like, we'll do the album reviews still on the show, but we'll have, like, a full written album reviews for the records that we do review, and also ones that we aren't able to do on the show. We'll still do them, so definitely keep sending out more, you know, ideas for albums and bands. Once you guys give us, you know, say, you know, hey, review our album. If we don't have it, you know, send us the tracks.
Yeah.
So we can get a review on it.
Yeah.
We definitely, you know, are needing new music anyway, for sure.
Yeah.
So
we can't just keep doing national, you know, bands.
Yeah, we want to do the locals. So.
Yeah. That's what this is about. You know, Remember Paris was good enough to send us theirs. I'm personally going to be writing out their review on Tumblr tonight.
Yeah, awesome.
And we'll probably be reviewing it on the show next week.
Yeah, next week we'll throw that. We'll throw that.
But I'm going to write the written review for it tonight, probably on our Tumblr.
Yeah.
Remember Paris. I actually want to say a little bit about those guys. They've run into a spot of trouble here lately.
Yeah, I've been seeing that on Facebook.
Yeah, they. Got a couple of them got denied entrance into the UK.
I think it was Ryan.
Ryan did, and some stuff from the past, I guess, and so they the members who have been able to get into the UK were going around basically doing acoustic shows and stuff, and, you know, that sucks.
Yeah.
Like, you know, not having your band and, you know, trying to rep it in the UK and, you know, only having a couple members being forced to relegate to an acoustic show.
Yeah.
You know, on that tour. It's a hard time, so I figured, you know, throw them some love out here. You guys go check them out, and we're going to do a review for their album next week.
Yeah, definitely. On the podcast. Those guys are definitely, you know, are needing the support right now with all the issues they had over in the UK. So
yeah.
So if you haven't checked them out, check them out. If you do, still keep supporting those guys.
Yeah. And they've shown us a lot of support too.
And, oh, totally.
You know, so.
Yeah, they still do. I think one of them posted something about our, like, posted a thing for our last show a couple days ago on Facebook.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's fucking sweet.
Yeah. And, pretty awesome.
Yeah. And one more thing that I wanted to throw out. I was told a couple of days ago about a movie that's being made about the Indianapolis local scene. That it's called Waking Up the Nap. It's basically a movie version, kind of like what we're doing here a little bit.
Yeah,
like, you know, just highlighting the Indianapolis scene. So look that up on Facebook. We'll post some stuff on it definitely. If you're in a band, hit them up. Say, you know, hey, you know, we'd like to be featured in this.
Who's making the movie?
I don't know. That's the thing. Like,
fuck do we get in this movie?
No, I'm already ahead of you. I went to their page and I was like, yo, I do this, and I'm also in this band. We'd like to be on this or whatever.
Yeah.
So, and I told them we would do cross promotion for it, which is, you know,
what
I'm doing now. We'll definitely keep doing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, if the guy, if whoever is making Waking the Nap is listening to this,
hit us up.
Get at us. We definitely want to make this work.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So yeah, that's all the real quick shout outs that I had to start off, since we haven't, you know.
Yeah, we haven't been up. We haven't been up in 2 weeks. You know,
just kind of catching up on everybody.
Yeah. And one of the reasons we haven't been up in a couple weeks is Joe has been in Nashville, recording the new new Stone Throats album. Talk a little bit about how that went and how the experience was and stuff.
Dude, Nashville was awesome. Really, really fucking cool town. No one's been to Nashville, Tennessee, please make it something you're doing in your life. So cool. We stayed at a hotel on Vanderbilt University's hospital campus, right next to the hospital, actually.
Really?
Where our producer actually worked, so it made it really easy for us to, like, meet up or whatever. And some really interesting stuff happened down there. I witnessed my first bar fight down there. That was pretty sweet.
Very nice.
It was at a comedy night at this bar by our hotel. I'm not even in Nashville for an hour. I've probably been at the bar maybe 5 minutes. Sit down, have my first beer, watching the comedy night, and there's some heckler being a douche, wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
Hawaiian shirt did give away.
Hawaiian shirt in Nashville. He looked like a Southern Jimmy Buffett.
No.
Oh, God, it was bad. And this dude's like, you fucking douchebag. Burp, 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 burp. And finally, the comedian had not even been on stage for 90 seconds, and he just walks off stage, walks up to the table behind us, and it happened to be two other comedians that were there. He's like, hey, man, can I borrow this pitcher of beer, and I'll give you guys another one? And they're like, yeah, sure, brother, go ahead. He grabs it. He throws the pitcher of beer in this dude's face and just sets the pitcher on top of the guy's head and walks back on stage.
That is awesome.
This drunk gets up and tries to charge, and he's probably about 3 feet from me. And I'm like, oh, shit, I'm going to get drunk dude AIDS. This sucks. And then this other comedian gets up, and he's just like, what the fuck, man? Burr, burr, burr. Like, don't fucking do that. So the comedian gets kicked out.
Yeah.
Because the bartender runs up and's like, bro, you can't do that here, man. You gotta go. And the guy's like, just completely comes like, all right, well, I guess I gotta leave. I have two tickets to Tracy Morgan's stand-up. Who wants it?
Oh, no.
Yeah. And this guy, like, was like, he's like, it's Friday night, and this guy in the front was like, okay. He's like, cool, I'm out. Drops the mic and walks off stage.
Fuck, that's terrible. Did you hear about that Stacey Morgan or Tracy Morgan stand-up?
No, I just I just knew the guy had tickets for it.
Oh, that, first of all, Tracy Morgan isn't funny at all.
I love Tracy Morgan. I think he's hilarious.
Oh, God, you are just the worst person.
Why does he talk like that?
He's not funny.
I can't help it.
Oh, my God, no. I honestly think he, like, if I didn't hate Dane Cook so much, I would think Tracy Morgan is probably the worst comedian in the world. Oh, dude,
you can't do that.
Dude, it's like Dane Cook, Tracy Morgan.
No, dude, like, it's not at all like that.
Dude, it is. No way. Yes, it is. No, he is the unfunny. He himself ruined the movie Cop Out. He ruined that movie. Like, that movie could have been funny if Tracy Morgan wasn't in it.
Yeah, I didn't even see that movie.
Yeah.
Whatever. I think it was hilarious.
Oh, my God. He's so annoying. If that would have been Mike Epps, it probably would have been okay.
Well, I mean, if it were Mike Epps, it would have been hilarious. Like,
they could have gone with, like, 100 other black actor comedians. That would have been better.
Chris Tucker.
Okay, maybe not Chris Tucker.
Yeah, that would completely ruin it.
But, no. Okay, so anyways, at that show in Nashville, Tracy Morgan went on some... like gay hatred.
Oh,
fucking yeah.
Oh,
like he got on stage and I got exactly like what he says and stuff. Like, he said like, basically that like homosexuality is like a product of like, of environment and stuff like that. He basically said it's a choice, like, to be gay.
Oh.
And then he said if his son was gay, like, he better come up to me and talk like a man and not some little gay boy, or I'll take a knife and stab him to death or something
that. Oh, God.
Yeah, what? Like, no joke. Like, what? Yeah. He went on a crazy, like, anti-gay, fucking violent thing. And people were booing him and leaving the show and stuff. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, dude, he was bad. Which is one of the reasons why I think he is just the fucking pinnacle of anti-funny. Like, you know, it's cool to be edgy and talk shit about people, but once you start getting, like, really violent about something,
people can tell, like, you really mean it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like...
Then he's probably gonna come out with an apology.
Oh, he did, yeah. He said, oh, this doesn't represent me.
Well, I mean, it's
probably gonna say something like he needs rehab on some shit.
It's just like the whole Michael Richards thing, really.
Oh, I know. But even Michael Richards was pushed. Like, I mean, I'm not defending what Michael Richards did. He was like pushed to a limit to where he had to say something. The guys were heckling him and stuff.
Oh yeah, I mean, if you watch the video, you know, from the start of the video, he's, like, already under attack. Like, he just had that kind of short fuse, I guess, to be like, blah, blah, blah.
Quote from Tracy Morgan's stand-up. This is supposed to be stand-up comedy. This is supposed to be funny. Gays need to quit being pussies and not be whining about something as insignificant as bullying. Gay is something that kids learn from the media and programming.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
That's not even, like, a good joke. It's not, like...
Whoa.
You can make fun of gay people as a joke. That's fine. But that's not a joke, though.
Yeah, like...
That's... Yeah. When talking about the possibility of his son being gay, Tracy said, "He better talk to me like a man and not be in a gay voice, or I'll pull out a knife and stab the little nigger to death."
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and then he said, "I don't fucking care if I piss off some gays, because if they can take a fucking dick up their ass, they can take a fucking joke."
Which is not a fucking joke.
Oh, yeah.
Not only is that just probably the worst thing I've ever heard said, he just stole the ending bit of that from Ralphie May. Ralphie May said the same ending. If they can take a dick, they can take a joke. 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And even he was just like, you know, this ain't hatred. I'm just saying, take a joke. But his was actually funny, though.
Yeah, that is just not funny.
That's just horrible.
Yeah.
God. Well, that just changed my perspective.
On, yeah. Oh, you'll never be able to watch Cop Out the same
no,
now, will
I
you?
I probably will never watch Cop Out again. Yeah. I mean, sorry to Bruce Willis, but... And Kevin Smith. But, oh, my God. Why? Why? No.
Yeah, it's just...
Wrong answer. Yeah. Wrong answer.
It's not... Go up and do your jokes. Don't fucking go on a... Yeah. On an
go,
anti...
Go up there and do Brian Fellow for an hour, and I'll be okay.
Like, God, it's just absolute ignorance. And, like, I never thought he was funny before then. I always thought he was the anti-funny. Just, like, I've never thought he was funny in anything, like, except for, like, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, and that was for, like, 30 seconds.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Don't get asshole for
him. Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, dude, they just fucking crossed the line and shit.
Oh,
but,
God. But, yeah. Anyway, lighter topic. Back to the Stone Throats record.
Yeah, back to the Stone Throats record.
Oh, yeah. We did it at Burning Bridge Recordings down in Nashville with Joe Lauver and Eli Chastain, two of the greatest human beings I've ever had the privilege of knowing. Probably the easiest recording experience I've ever had in my entire life. Because, like, we did it at Joel's house, like, most of it. We did, the drums were done at Playground Studios down in Nashville. It's, like, a studio that Joel does, like, some, like, subcontracting engineering with or something like that. And all the rest of it, like, all the guitars and vocals and stuff were done at his house. Dude, it's, like, I would pull up, you know, this nice, you know, addition, you know, people out mowing their lawn, perfect suburban image or whatever, and we're making an evil, thrashy, hardcore record in the attic of this house. Super, super cool, super easy, never felt more at home. And even, like, the people in Nashville alone were super cool, too. Like, one night, Joel and Eli took Carter and I out. They're like, yo, man, we're gonna go to the bar, we gotta celebrate, blah, 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 blah. Oh, okay. So we go out, and just, like, the musicians that were there, like, because there's musicians fucking everywhere.
Oh, yeah, in Nashville, yeah, of course,
and, like,
yeah.
I was sitting out on the deck of this bar called the Springwater, which is where I saw that bar fight, which is basically a triple-wide shack with a bar in it. Awesome.
Nice.
Coolest fucking bar I've ever been in. Literally, it's like, take a trailer, make it 3 wide, and really shitty looking on the outside, and then, like, make it all wood floors, one pool table, golden tea, of course.
It was bigger than that double wide you used to live in?
Yeah.
Really?
A little bit.
Dude, because you used to live in a fucking nice motherfucking double wide.
That trailer park was meant for old people.
That was a fucking, we went to your place a few times back in the day, and, like, be like, oh, shit, Joe lives in a trailer, and then you walk in, and it's, like, as big as my fucking house.
Yeah, it's really deceiving. Yeah. You got, like, a, you know, a 30-foot long tube with, like, it's like 8 foot wide, about 30 feet long or whatever, and you think this is gonna be shit. And then you walk in, you're like, oh, damn. Wow.
how much rent you paying this bitch?
Almost lot rent. Walk in, everyone's super cool. All the musicians were talking to me because, like, I guess it's a thing with musicians, you can kind of smell them out.
Yeah.
Because I'm sitting out on the patio of this bar, you know, enjoying a fat tire, and this guy walks out, doesn't even know who I am. He's just like, "Hey, brother, how you doing, man?" I'm like, "What's up?"
Exactly like that.
Yeah, exactly.
How you doing, brother?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing, man? And I'm like, "Hey, what's going on, dude?" Just talked to this dude for 20 minutes, and he was just like, I've never seen you before around here. He's like, you visited Nashville? I'm like, yeah, I'm from Indianapolis and whatever. Told him about the record. He's like, hell yeah, man. He's like, you seem like a young guy. How old are you? I'm like, well, I'm 25. He's like, dude, keep at it, man. Blah, blah, blah. Just go on tour, man. Do it up. Shit, move down to Nashville, man. Y'all make a killing down here. I'm like, thank you. Like, I didn't know what to say. Like, I've never been, like, greeted like that. Because, like, and it gave, like, such a sense of community that, you know, we've been talking about in previous episodes that Indianapolis needs.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a sense of community. And, like, and that's, you know, definitely what we've been trying to do here.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's what this is all about. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it was just awesome down there.
Yeah.
And...
How'd the recordings go?
Like, oh, man. Oh, dude. I got down there, and everyone in the band was like, dude, you have to hear this record how it sounds just right now. No bass or vocals, just you have to listen to it. And I was like, okay. So I came in, and it was weird that I sat down and was listening to it, and I was like, this is not what we wrote. No, this is not what we...
What the fuck is this, guys?
Yeah, like, we wrote this, really? Like, no, we didn't write this, did we? And they're like, yeah, dude, that's our stuff. And it just sounds incredible. Oh, my God. Oh.
He's whacking it right now.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I came twice since talking about it. Dude, oh, it's going to sound so monstrous, dude.
Yeah.
It's so pissed off and so evil in all the right ways. Like, it's definitely for fans of Botch, Converge. There's a part that we think sounds like Behemoth, but Eli quoted says, dude, this sounds like heavy Queens of the Stone Age. I can get behind that. And there's even some, like, just... There's, like, really weird singing on a part that Jake, our guitar player, does. It's real droney, like, southernish singing in one part, the very last song.
Mm-hmm.
There's slide guitar on it that
really?
Eli did. He was just like, hey, man, mind if I play guitar on your record? And we're like, fuck yeah, okay. Yeah. Grabs Jake's guitar, throws on a slide, and goes, all right, play that track back really quick. And he just plays these, like, long slide, one note, really eerie slide part at the beginning of the last song. It's so sick.
Nice.
Oh, I wanted to cry when I heard it. I was like, no way.
Is this going to be a UTC-approved album?
It better be.
We'll see.
If we don't get signed off of this, I'm quitting.
How many tracks is it?
There's 11 tracks.
It's a
full-length record.
Nice.
Boom. It should be coming out before the summer ends, hopefully, if we get everything pressed and everything. We still need to get artwork done. We haven't got the final mix back yet. Joel's actually going to be doing a vocal part on one of the songs, and then he's going to mix it down and shit, and then send it back to us. But even the rough mix... I think I'm confident enough that I could take the rough mix and send it to any record label and go, yo, sign my band.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm that confident.
I'm that proud of it. I've never been that proud of a record until this one. I would walk into the Death Wish offices and go, sign my fucking band and walk out. And then be like, okay,
they're gonna sign me.
And I just walk out going, yeah, they're gonna sign me.
Fuck yeah, dude.
It's fucking sweet, dude.
So sweet recording and everything.
Sweet recording. Like, is it the easiest recording ever?
Yeah.
Like, you know.
What was the recording studio again?
Burning Bridge Recording.
Burning Bridge Recording. Yeah, I have them on Facebook and stuff.
Burning Bridges. Yeah. They're on the Twitter, too, at BBR is legit. Is their Twitter name?
Is it legit? It is legit from what I'm hearing from Joe.
It is legit. If you want your recordings to sound awesome,
no, people want them to sound shitty. Yeah.
No. Seriously, do yourself a favor, save up money, go down to Nashville. There are two guys from Indiana that are making big waves in music today, in underground music. Please, please hit them up. Show them some support. Tell them that Joe from Stone Throat sent you, and they'll rage you out. And they'll smoke you out all day long.
Very nice.
Yes, yes. So yeah, look out for that sometime. I'd hopefully like to. I don't really have a date, but I'd like to say sometime late summer, early fall, maybe mid fall at the latest. Hopefully, if everything goes to plan. But you'll definitely be seeing it out. Sometime before the end of the year.
And people, go like the Stone Throat's Facebook page, for God's sake.
Fucking page, you lazy bastards. We had so many on the rumor has it page, yeah. And people were like, I'll get to it. No, do it now. We're playing with former thieves June 22nd.
Everyone who liked Rumor Has It should be liking Stone Throats right now.
Yeah,
it's like,
I know.
And should just even, be transferring likes.
Yeah,
right now.
And we've even went on the Rumor Has It page and we're like, yo.
Yeah.
Go here
and like it. And they're like, okay, I'll get to it, but no, do it. June 22nd, us, Kaloom, and Argos are playing with Stone Throats at the dojo. You better get there.
Yep, and Former Thieves is going to be there, and we're going to be doing an interview with them.
Yeah, it probably won't be a full... Well, actually, we'll probably do a podcast that week. That's like a normal one.
Yep.
And then at the end, we'll just tag on.
Yep.
The Former Thieves interview.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be a longer episode, but you get a double shot of
get to hear what stuff you get to hear what Former Thieves thinks about our scene, man.
Yeah, and you'll definitely get to get an outsider's perspective on it.
Yep. Sure. I'm excited.
Yes. Oh, I am too.
Yeah. I'm very excited. Trevor, go have beers with them. I don't think you know what's going to be happening. We're going to be partying with Former Thieves that night. Fucking. We're going to be at J. Clyde's getting fucking shit faced. So you better.
J. Clyde's?
Yeah.
Good luck because that's kind of far away from the dojo.
Oh, the new dojo, yeah.
22nd College, man.
Yeah. Son of a bitch.
All right, we'll go to Broad Ripple.
Yeah. We'll just go to Broad Ripple.
It's like a 5-minute drive up the street to the dojo. So.
Yeah, we'll go to Broad Ripple.
We'll go to Broad Ripple and get some bagel deli with the dudes at Former Thieves and. Get them drunk before they go to wherever they're going next.
Yeah. So, I've already told Matt Schmitz from Former Thieves we're partying, and he concurred. So,
good man.
So, like Joe, that. You're getting drunk that night.
Yeah, I'll call for it next
time. You goddamn right you will, yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, you goddamn right we will. Partying. I'm sorry.
Winning. Duh.
Duh. Winning.
Gnarling.
No, you're completely wrong. Hippopotamus have no lower back teeth. What's wrong with you? Charlie Sheen, you crazy bastard.
If you guys haven't noticed, this is the episode where we don't have a guest, so we're just going to get off for most of the show.
Joe's our guest today.
Yeah.
He's got big stuff, you know, coming from the, you know, Stone Throats recording and stuff.
Yeah.
And that shit's about to fucking take off like the contortionist did.
Oh, man, I fucking hope.
Dude, I can see it. I mean, if you guys got a legit recording... It'll take off.
It is legit.
Yeah. Gonna diarrhea unfolds like Niagara Falls.
Oh, all day long, dude. Like fucking clockwork.
Fuck yeah.
Shitting in people's cereal.
You gotta get that. You gotta get that shit up on Blogspots too when it comes out too.
We'll definitely be doing.
I know it's not cool to pirate local music, but I mean it's a good way to get fans out of.
I mean,
Facts of Life has their stuff on EZCore and stuff.
Yeah,
so
EZCore, we'll definitely try to get it somewhere.
I would try the I Like You Better Dead blogs, but...
I Like You Better Dead. Yeah. I like that.
And there's another one. It's, son of a biatch.
I think the I Like You Better Dead is where I got the album. I'm doing the album review on this.
Ah, movie. City and Color, oh! Yes. Yes, they did have it posted on there.
Yeah, I'm getting it. I'll be doing the hell later on in the show.
Indeed.
Justin, you had a...
Yeah.
Rant of nonsensical irritants that...
Dude, it fucking... A lot of irritants.
Yes.
So, like... Alright. You know, like... I mean, there's some really good shows coming up. Like, here in Indy. You know, we got, like, Former Thieves here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we got...
And then...
I got
June 22nd, so...
June 22nd, there's that one. No, I was going to get, like, a list
of shows. Oh, a list of things. I mean, in Facts of Life is playing with Bayside and
Transit.
On July 28th.
Yeah, them and Sam and Sunday are going to be
doing that.
A lot of really great shows are coming up.
They're, like, really good shows. And like I said, we'll all be down with Former Thieves June 26th and shit. You're playing with them and stuff.
Oh, yeah. There's another show, Such Gold, announced.
Oh, that's right, 12th.
With Kaloom, Indian City Weather.
I heard about
that. It's all happening.
Yeah.
And there's a band called Basement that's playing that too.
Yeah, Basement. I don't know if you've heard Basement.
I haven't heard Basement.
They're
yet.
From the
Solid.
UK.
Yeah.
Just finished a debut full length.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. So yeah. they're
really good.
They're the band on tour with Such Gold.
Yeah.
So
definitely going to be that'll be a fucking sweet show.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. But anyway, so like I told a few friends like, "Hey, yeah, you should come out, you know." And I was out with a friend of mine and her friends and like they were asking me about the podcast and stuff. And I was telling them, you know, I could do it with, you know, friends Joe and Jesse and you know, basically it's just like insight into indies underground music, like you know, getting people on here, getting their name out, getting, you know, like a sense of community, you know, in this underground scene here. And, like, so I told him, I was like, you guys should come out. I mean, at least see, like, you know, come out to the dojo. It's, like, really small and cheap, and, you know, there's, you know, gonna, you know, Former Thieves is a signed band. They're on No Sleep. You should come out and stuff. And, like, they're just like, well, I don't know, it's not really my thing. I'm not really like the people there.
Yeah, yeah. What does that even mean?
That's what I said. I said, What does that mean? Like, I don't act or dress like them, they said. Like, it's like,
it doesn't matter. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm pretty like, sure the hardcore mentality is not being a certain way.
No, it's not.
It's just going out and being yourself.
Like. That's exactly. And I got like really fucking irritated. Like, I was like, what do you mean? Because I go to hardcore shows. Do I seem any different than anybody you know? None of my friends are any fucking different than any other person in the world. What do you mean you're not like us? Like, yeah. Are we some sort of like race? Separate? Yeah, yeah. Are we some other fucking race? Like,
we're not a cult or anything.
And then one of her friends said, no, I'm just saying, you know, you go to a Dave Matthews concert, you expect to see stoners. You go to a Rascal Flatts concert, you see a bunch of rednecks. So you go to a punk show and you see a bunch of scene punk kids. I'm just like, describe a scene punk kid. Describe it for me. And she, of course, she was just like, skinny jeans and stuff like that and all that. I was just like, you don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
If you went to a show right now, you would see t-shirts and ball shorts.
Yeah, you
like this is like I mean,
yeah, there are a lot of shows where you see kids.
You, know, yeah, like you know, like with
cartoony band shirts.
Of course,
skinny,
yeah,
skinny jeans. Yeah, there, you see them there, but it's not just that type of people.
No, it's absolutely a diverse bunch of people there.
Absolutely. Like, yeah. How can you get away with saying that?
No,
like,
you can't. I have never once been to a hardcore show or a punk show and seen just a crowd full of skinny jean wearing, flannel wearing hipsters.
Yeah.
Never once have I seen a whole show just see hardcore shows and heavy shows. They're the most diverse shows.
Yeah.
And that you can go to.
Yeah. And
absolutely.
I've been noticing a lot lately. There's like, it hasn't been just straight like hardcore shows. There's been a lot of like, mingling of different styles, like
absolutely.
Like, you know, like we play a lot of shows with like Pessoa, you know, like you know indie rock,
band, yeah,
Kaloom, you know indie rock bands, like you know if we play with like we're playing probably we're gonna be playing a show here in the next couple of weeks for This Is Me's is doing a benefit show for their new EP that they're gonna put out, and there, it's gonna be a huge mingling of different types of bands,
yeah, like, and different kinds of people.
Yeah,
but that's what every hardcore show is I've ever been to is like.
Yeah, it's a
bunch. I've never seen just a stereotype, like a crowd of stereotypes.
No,
at a hardcore show.
No,
fucking really got to me because then I'm wondering, is that how everyone sees? I mean, I want to know what everybody who listens to this thoughts about that are.
Yeah,
because to me, this scene has been the most diverse group of people I've ever been. You know, when I used to go to fucking, like, new metal shows and shit, it was just a barrage of the same kind of...
The same kind of people.
Yeah, just, you know...
Yeah, but, like...
But,
like, now, like, you go to, like, any local show now, you're gonna see... You're gonna see the scene kid. You're gonna see, you know, the stereotypical hipster dude. You're gonna see, you know, the straight up hardcore kids. You're going to see the, you know, the scratchy logo metal kids, you know, emo kids, indie kids, like
they just all together
in one day. Yeah. For no matter what, like no matter what band is going on, it could be like, you know, fucking death metal band going on, you'll still see the same type of
people. I've seen people in business suits at hardcore shows.
I have too, and that's really, really odd.
But I'm just saying, that's just, there is no fucking...
It's not a fashion show.
No, yeah, it's not.
Never has.
There is, you cannot put your finger on somebody who enjoys going to hardcore shows. You can't just say, like, when I walk down the street, I guarantee people aren't like, man, I bet he spends his spare time going to hardcore shows and stage diving and throwing down in pits and stuff.
I mean, there are, like, I kind of see a little bit where that chick is coming from, because there are, like, some people.
There is a stereotype there. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there are totally
there is.
There are some people that, you know, like, well, you'll see him walking down the street and you'll be like, okay. Like, say I see you walking down the street and I see some dude wearing a Converge shirt. I'm like, okay, that dude listens to a lot of Deathwish bands.
Yeah.
Just by stereotyping by wearing a Converge shirt.
Yeah.
You know?
But you're not putting a group of people as a whole into a negative light, which is what they were doing.
Not at all.
Like, they were talking to, like... Like, that's a, like, a bad thing. Like, that's a...
Yeah,
fucking, like,
it totally comes off like, you know, like, oh...
Like, you're better than...
Yeah, like I'm above these.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck off.
Like, are you kidding me? Do you even understand what kind of people go to these? Like, it's just your normal, everyday people you see on the streets. How are you any different or better than any of these people?
I don't know.
And then to top that off, I'm going to physical therapy for my ankle.
Right, yeah.
And, so, like, okay, first of all, the dude who does my physical therapy, Ruben, fucking, whoa, awesome. This dude is, I think he said he's 54,
mm-hmm.
but he is, like, a product of the late 70s, early to mid 80s hardcore punk scene.
Oh, nice.
Like, this dude is fucking ragged, dude. Like, he's got a skullet.
Oh, awesome. Like, Rules.
Looks like he hasn't shaved in 7 years. Like,
oh, sweet.
His
dude.
Chest hair is just as long as his beard, too. Like, it's like, he wears the hospital stuff. Like, it's
the scrub tops.
Yeah, the scrub tops, and they're like V-necks.
Yeah.
And you can see his fucking chest hair. It's like, yeah, dude, it's just like, bam! It's like,
a little fro pop.
But this dude is just a product of that whole... I'm not going to call that movement.
Right, totally.
Like, and he has, like, so many, like, sweet stories, like, about how he used to drive. You know, he's from Indy, so he used to drive from Indy to New York to D.C.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Yeah, like, just, like, all... He said it was just so much easier back in the day, you know, like, when gas was, like, 70 cents a gallon.
Yeah.
He said he would steal, like, 10 or 15 or 20 bucks from his parents, and that would get him to New York. In his car, eat, and then back.
Oh.
Yeah, like, and he, like, sometimes, like, you know, he said, like, one time he worked a job for, like, 3 days, collected a paycheck, quit, and followed a band from New York to D.C. to South Carolina, and then back to Indiana.
That shows commitment.
Yeah, but that's what fucking so many people were doing back then, though.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's just, like, a sense of, like, community around. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was violent, but, you know, like... You establish relationships with people through the punk hardcore scene back then and stuff.
And that's kind of like the earn it yourself thing that I talked about earlier. That's kind of their mentality.
That's awesome. That's exactly how it should be.
DIY and the...
There needs to be another movement like that.
Yeah, like, that's totally what they were trying to do.
Definitely more nonviolent.
Yeah.
But there needs to be a movement like that again. Yeah.
And that's what those like the people from Earn It Yourself are talking about. I can't remember their names to save my life right now, but literally it was this girl and this guy were literally driving around in a Prius all around the country talking to different at like local shows, had like a big like round table discussion, like, you know, okay, there's this going on in your scene, there's this going on in your scene, this going on in your scene. What can we do collectively to make it better? the promoters, bands, just kids going to shows in general. That's what needs to happen more and more and more.
Exactly. That's exactly what needs to happen.
Like, so definitely, guys listening out there, go check out Earn It Yourself. Just look them up on Facebook.
Definitely.
Tell them, I told them about us at the show or whatever. So hopefully you guys are listening.
No.
But
going back, so like we were talking, me and Ruben, we were just talking, you know, just shooting the shit about, you know, the old days and stuff. And it's funny. he said, man, just shit changed so much once the 80s were over, man. He said, this is an actual quote from him. He said, once grunge ruined music, I decided to go to college.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
He said he listened to like Nirvana like one time, and he said he just couldn't get through 15 seconds of a song, and just turned it off and decided to go to college and make something of himself.
Yeah. You know, you're a bad band when you make people go to college.
Yeah,
I need to get
an education.
It's like this guy was like following bands for, you know, a little over a decade. He hears Nirvana and goes, "I've had enough of this."
Yeah, yeah. Well, especially because Kurt Cobain claimed to be, you know, influenced so heavily by punk.
Yeah,
and it just didn't show in his music to me. And that's exactly what he said. He said he doesn't know what the fuck punk rock is. It's like he can say that grunge is punk all he wants. He doesn't know shit.
It's farts.
Yeah. He said he doesn't know shit. And anybody who claims that they're grunge and punk doesn't know shit about punk. And he told me straight, he's like, "You don't know shit about punk." And I was like, "Yeah, I definitely don't know as much about it as you, dude." He's just like, "Man, you just gotta live it, man." Yeah. He's like, "It's not something that you just claim to be. It's something you live." That's how we did it back then. We lived it. We didn't claim to be from any sets, you know.
Yeah.
The New York hardcore scene, you know, kind of fucked all that up, you know, starting with the gangs and shit. And,
yeah, yeah.
But, you know, we lived that shit. But, yeah. Like, and I was just like, "Yeah, I know. I'm fucking sorry." There was a dude at Ortho Indy, like, with me. This dude who broke both of his legs, and, like, he's, like, listened to us and stuff, and he turned to us, "Man," he's like, "I don't know how you guys go to those punk shows, man. I'd be lost in there. You don't ever see any black people at any punk shows and stuff like that." And I was like, wrong.
Contraire.
I was like, wrong. Yeah. So wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, and that is, again, it's like, you know, people who go to punk and hardcore shows are the most diverse people in the world. Like, I mean, I see many of different races of people at heavy shows.
You don't have to act a certain way. You don't have to be a certain color.
I know.
If you enjoy it, you go enjoy it.
That's exactly what we fight against these days. Yeah. You know.
If you want to come have fun, by all means.
There is no black and white. There is no...
don't be afraid to go to a show. Like, I understand, like, you know, kids, like, younger kids, especially, like, being afraid to go to shows because they're like, you know, "Oh, there's going to be a, you know, bunch of dudes just, you know, throwing fists and stuff, and I don't want to get decked in the face." Well, I can understand that, being like, you know, I was the same way when I was like 14, 15 going to shows. I was like, "Dude, what the fuck?" Like, you know, kids like throwing fucking punches at people. Like, yeah, it's kind of terrifying, but like, you know.
Once you really get into it, though, and you really like see like how it is, like how the people are.
Yeah, just, and I advise people that haven't been to a show, just go and observe.
Yeah.
Just go and observe and just watch how everything works, you know.
Yeah.
And I've said that to people, and that's how they've got into shows. They're just like, "Oh, okay, I get it."
Yeah. Like, I'm just like, I think that, dude, I'm just like, no. Go listen to Trash Talk and take that back.
go listen to Trash.
There's no black guys in the punk scene, huh? Okay, yeah.
Bad Brains.
Yeah. How about you listen to Bad Brains? Fucking Rastafarian motherfuckers.
I know this is a bad...
Because Bad Brains is one of my favorite bands. Yeah, like, I mean, absolutely. You guys know that. But
I know it's a bad example, but
and they kind of really suck now, but they were awesome about 10 years ago. God forbid.
Oh yeah, God forbid. Yeah.
Kills What You Age. Howard Jones.
Black as hell.
Huge, huge black man.
And just in local, you know, Sean from Swan.
Yeah. Kenton, my friend Kenton, he was in the bar fight.
Yeah.
He was in a garage for a little bit.
Yeah.
And Nicholas from Indian City Weather.
Yeah.
You can't really say that, you know, that it's all just a bunch of, you know, pissed off white boys.
Yeah, no, it's not.
These shows. Albeit there are a lot of pissed off white boys.
Of course there is. There's a lot of pissed off white boys everywhere.
It's everywhere. It's not just hardcore, it's everywhere. But yeah, don't fucking pigeonhole people. That's fucking stupid. Like, that's another thing that just really kind of gets underway.
This is a more diverse scene than any scene there is. And I can say that with 100% confidence. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I can...
100% confidence. I can say this is a more diverse scene as far as race and gender and personalities
by,
and...
Are you going by, like, genres of music scenes?
Like, just this whole... Like, scene we're in, you know, like, where most kids go to, like, hardcore and punk shows, and, you know, that expands all the way to indie rock and post-rock. It's people who listen to hardcore listen to so many different kinds of music.
Yeah.
Like, any kid you talk to in this scene will tell you they listen to such a big and broad spectrum of music.
Yeah.
And it takes them on different journeys. It takes them... makes them realize different things and how, you know...
Different moods want something different.
Exactly.
Different music.
Just more diverse attitudes than any other music scene.
Yeah, and like, you know, because I've noticed people that like are mainly into certain other styles of music are just stuck in that one group.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, they absolutely.
They get really closed-minded about anything else. But, and like you said, like, a lot of people that listen to hardcore are like, okay, you know, this is awesome.
They actively search for new...
The hardcore scene, this is awesome, but there's this other stuff out here.
Yeah.
I'll go to the other side of the spectrum here. I dig on that.
Like, and I feel like that's, you know, most of, you know...
Most of the hardcore kids,
yeah.
Not even just people in the hardcore scene.
Yeah.
There's people that I know that are like that, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, yeah, but I'll dig on, like, metal or whatever, but you can catch me most of the time listening to, you know, Explosions in the Sky or, you know, This Will Destroy
Modest Mouse,
Black Keys,
you
know, stuff like that.
Just there's a whole variety of music in this scene that...
Totally.
That goes unnoticed. You know, they see a punk kid and they think, you know, just listens to this and that. But if they checked his iPod, they would see fucking thing.
Like,
yeah.
Some people would probably see like fucking even like Bjork or something.
Yeah,
like
I know, right? Just a crazy amount of music.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, I can't even fathom this right now. This is crazy. I can tell you my iPod is filled with mostly punk and hardcore.
Mm.
I can say that, but I have 120 gigs of music just on my iPod, and scrolling through it, you would never pigeonhole me as a certain type of person.
Oh,
like seriously, just like there's so much music on there.
Yeah, like the
different kinds of music: hip hop, indie, hardcore, country. Old country, not new pop country. I don't fucking know.
Johnny Cash.
Conway Twitty, Outlaws, you know, stuff like that. Chris Christopherson.
Yeah.
You know, you'll find Jeff Beck on my iPod and, you know, shit like that, dude.
Yeah,
like,
it's just all across.
Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, you have the Scarlett Johansson record?
Yeah, and Pete Yorn.
Pete Yorn.
Yeah. That record's on my sheet.
It's like, I gave... This chick at my work wanted to listen to my iPod or whatever. I was like, yeah, okay. So I put it on shuffle. About 2 hours later, she comes back and hands it to me. And I was like, right on. She just goes, I just have to say that you have the musical taste of someone with schizophrenia.
Yeah, exactly.
And I go, well, what do you mean?
Just look at my last FM page and you're just like, what?
Yeah, I know.
Have Heart followed by Explosion to the Sky, followed by Hatebreed, followed by...
Yeah, that's like, that happened to me too, dude. It was like...
It was like, God is an astronaut. I call fives. Cannibal Corpse.
I don't know, like, oh, my God, yeah. I just looked at
that and I was like,
I am a schizophrenic.
I go, that's just weird. Like, yeah. You go from, you know, post-rock to the probably the catchiest pop-punk band I listen to right now, gory death metal.
Yeah. Jim Carrey's favorite band.
And then a Richard Pryor.
But, like, we're not the only people like that. There's just, like, most of the people that we know in this hardcore scene are like that.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Like, just, I hate the fact that we're pigeonholed about it. And
yeah,
you guys give us your thoughts on this, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Seriously.
Definitely hit us up.
How do you feel about the people, you know, in this scene and you know, I mean, do you stereotype at all? You know, we want to know.
Yeah.
So get at us.
Definitely get at us. Post it on there if you're on Twitter. Yeah. Hit us up on Twitter, message us, message our personal Facebooks about it too, and then we'll get back and throw those on the
air. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Before, like, when the show ends tonight, I know a lot of kids have been telling me this, but I'm gonna read a list off of at least the show invites that I've got in the past week, just to give you guys a heads up of what's out there in the upcoming week.
No.
So next on the agenda, we got our album reviews.
Yeah. I think we're going to do... I think we'll wait a week on the Touche Amour.
Wait a week on that one?
Just, yeah, make Jesse listen to that record a few hundred more times this week.
a few hundred more times.
Yeah. I think we'll just do the City in Color. We're approaching an hour, if you can believe it.
We're going to go long. We haven't got 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we're going to... But
we're
gonna go
long this week.
Yo, I would feel more comfortable if we were on the same page with the Touche Amour record.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
We'll wait to do that one.
Yeah.
I feel like we could spend a lot of time talking about the City in Color record.
We can definitely spend a lot of time on it.
Because I know all three of us are incredibly huge Dallas Green fans.
Yeah, I mean, for those of you that know me, I have an Alexis on Fire tattoo. Yeah, I have an Alexis on Fire
Young Cardinals
tattoo.
Yeah,
with the Cardinal from Old Crows, Young Cardinals, and a line from the chorus of Old Crows in a banner underneath it. But, yeah, so...
And Joe, you got me into Alexis on Fire.
Yes, I did.
Years ago, so...
Yeah, I totally did when you thought my music sucked. But it's all good, though.
Fuck you.
No. I pulled you out of the dark side. Fucking call you Luke Skywalker about this shit. This week I picked Little Hell, the new City in Color release, and two words describe this record. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Easily, the best record of 2011 so far. The best record that Dallas Green has been a part of.
It's so full sounding.
Yeah. It's a lot of the full band instrumentation on it. Like, I thought that Bring Me Your Love was, you know,
I go to sleep to that record every night. Bring Me Your Love. Just slap on. Just listen to it, and nod off.
Listen to it on vinyl.
Yeah. Oh, good Lord. Shut your mouth.
Closest thing to religious experience I've ever had in my life. But no, like, you know, sometimes great record. Bring Me Your Love was like, you know, a more mature sound to sometimes. Little Hell is even more matured than Bring Me Your Love. Like,
it's so different. It's the same in a lot of ways, but it sounds so sounds so much bigger.
There's a few songs where it is just him, like,
just him with a guitar.
But you get those full band songs, you know, you get Fragile Bird. I mean, the first time listening to that,
Fragile Bird,
this is different, but it's still sucking me in.
Like,
that's just the first thing when I listened to it. When I got to the end of the record, I was just like, that was the loudest acoustic record I've ever listened to. That sounded so, like, full. Engulfed me.
Wherever he recorded that, they did a perfect job.
I think they recorded that in a church, actually.
Yeah, it is. It's the same place where they recorded Bring Your Love.
Yeah.
Just, like, a big, like, church that converted into a studio. And, like, there's no separation or whatever, no isolation booths. It's all one room.
Yeah.
So when you're recording something, you shut the fuck up. You don't move, you don't breathe. If you get a fart, run outside. And like, because you can definitely tell, like the reverb on his voice, they didn't do anything. That's just the room.
Yeah, exactly.
And
it is
awesome. And like,
It's brilliant.
Oh, absolutely.
It's brilliant. Absolutely.
It gives that such organic feel to it. And, yeah, like you mentioned Fragile Bird. First time I listened to it, I'm sitting in my garage, got my iPod on, just sitting there hanging out and listening to it or whatever, and Fragile Bird comes on, and I was like, you know, just the intro guitar part comes on, I'm like, okay, this could be interesting. Then, like, the distorted bass comes in, and I was like, did the fucking Black Keys write a song for sitting here?
Well, you texted me about that song.
Yeah.
You were like, dude, this song is like...
Oh, yeah, I immediately texted you. Yeah. I was like, he's got to know. Yeah, and then I sat there, I listened to it, and I go, hold on. Because I still didn't believe it. I replayed it again. After it ended the second time, I paused it, and I literally out loud go, huh, he did get away with that.
Oh, and yeah.
And then just resumed listening to the rest of the record.
Dude, I feel like that he is maybe the most brilliant musician of our generation.
In my opinion, the best.
I mean, because Alexis on Fire transcends all hardcore and
the most, like,
they're like the buffet.
They really are. Like,
yeah. It's like a buffet of music, of influences, at least.
To the first Alexis record, and it's like, you can definitely tell they're super young, like barely even 20, like, that kind of has that real snotty, brag sound to it, but, and then watch out, and you're just like, oh, shit, these dudes are not fucking around.
No.
Crisis, these dudes are definitely not fucking around.
Crisis was maybe one of the most epic albums ever written.
I mean, like, and of course, like,
holy shit.
And because I thought that they had broken up because I had not heard anything from them. And then my buddy Jeremiah from Howler, he was like, dude, you heard the new Alexis on Fire record? I was like, I thought they broke up. He's like, no, check this out. He plays me the video for This Could Be Anywhere in the World. And I was like,
oh,
I went, no.
How?
Do you have this record? Yeah, I'm stealing it from you. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Totally went home, burned the record, and I said, you know what, hell with it. Went to fucking Meijer and bought it. They had one copy, and I was like, yep.
Ran to the checkout line.
It was right before they were closing off the electronic section. I was like, wait! Ran in there, and I was like, I just gotta look for a CD. Oh, got it.
Yeah.
And then, thank you. And just ran to the front. But yeah, and then like Old Crows.
That is such a weird album.
Oh, it definitely is. It's definitely a big departure.
I love it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that is a negative thing.
I have to. But, dude, like, I heard it and I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. George's voice changes. Yeah, you just, when you first listen to it, you just don't know. Yeah, you're just like,
I don't know. I was like, I don't know. And then I listened to the whole thing and I was like, okay, I get it.
It's almost like we just, like, force ourselves to like it.
it's like, okay. And I, you know, a lot of people are like, I fucking hated that record.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't like that record. And a lot
of people I talked to at first, they were like, man, I hate that record. And then, like, after about 3 months of listening to it, they're like, okay, I like that record.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, I see what you did. I like your style on that. And the newest EP they put out, the
Dog's Blood EP.
Oh, it's heavy.
Oh, it's so heavy.
As fuck. Like,
yeah.
Like, whoa. I heard the intro riff to Dog's Blood, and I'm like, where did this come from?
Yeah, dude. It doesn't sound like anything off of any of their albums.
And that's why they made that EP, because they're like, I think it was George they were doing the interview with. He was just like, these are songs that were too weird for Old Crows.
These songs would not have fit on that album at all.
They would have put those songs on that record. I still would have listened to it. I still would have loved it. Go, because like, I can't.
But there would have been like a weird thing.
People would have been like,
what the fuck is going on with this album?
It's so fucking incoherent.
It's like you've got George trying to sound like the dude from Dropkick Murphys.
Yeah.
Which, in his own right, it
worked.
Awesome.
It worked to me. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. That dude can literally do whatever he wants. Yeah. And then they come out with this, and it's just like,
Why are you mad?
Why are you mad, bro? Why are you mad, bro?
You jelly? Like, what?
Then, like, all while all of this is happening, you know, Dallas is doing these acoustic records, doing these City and Color records.
Oh, and it's just
and he's like, I don't. Like, where does he get the inspiration to write these records while he's doing Alexis on Fire?
I am a fucking fanboy.
We all are.
I watch. When I get bored at work, I watch band interviews.
Same here. Ryan's Rock Show band interviews.
Yeah, Ryan's Rock Show, metal YouTube. All of YouTube. I'll just type in, like, okay, check out a band interview.
Yeah.
Like, City and Color interview. I will watch every single video that comes up. Like, where's part three? Where the fuck is part three? Yeah, literally. Like, there's one that I watch all the time. It's like, it's in, like, five sections. I'm like, yep, sweet, I just killed an hour. Alright, but, no, he talks about, like, how he will just write stuff, and he's like, if it doesn't work for City and Color, I'll throw it at Alexis on Fire. If it doesn't work for Alexis on Fire, I'll keep it, use it for City and Color.
Yeah.
So, he's like, he's constantly writing stuff, and, like, and it's really weird, like, it's pretty much the exact opposite for each band. When I'm on tour with Alexis on Fire, I'm writing a new City and Color record. When I'm on tour with City and Color, I'm desperately trying to write Alexis on Fire.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. Like,
it goes back to exactly what we were just saying a minute ago. Yeah. He absolutely transcends what we're all about here in the scene.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that's how many of us think. That's how most of us think.
Yeah.
We could be listening to any sort of heavy music and then instantly start listening to folk songs.
Oh yeah, totally.
And not even skip a beat.
Yeah.
And Dallas Green perfectly represents the kind of people that I run into mostly in this scene.
Oh, totally. The coolest thing about Dallas Green, when I saw him open for Tegan and Sarah a couple years ago, walks out on stage, Young Widows t-shirt. I was like, that's awesome.
Dude, have you heard True Widow?
True Widow, no.
Oh, dear God. No. Young Widows is good. Yeah. Listen to True Widow though.
He had on a Young Widow shirt, but over the top of it, he had a Breather Resist zip-up hoodie.
Nice.
I haven't seen one of those since 2004.
Nice.
Homeboy just walks out. Hi. Yeah. Takes it off wearing a Young Widow shirt, and there's a dude behind me that just went, no way!
Get the fuck out of here.
And I turn around, and dude's wearing the same t-shirt.
Oh, nice.
He was just like,
I win.
Oh, I'm not wearing another shirt.
Ever.
No, and he literally has his girlfriend go. Like, I saw him, like, I had met Dallas Green. Cried.
Yeah.
That dude was behind me. And, you know, we were all three, like, talking to him or whatever. And he was just like, hey, man, can I do a favor real quick? Ask you a favor real quick to me. I was like, yeah. He goes, can you take a picture of us? I'm like, yeah, sure. And then Dallas doesn't even realize that the dude has the same t-shirt on. And he looks and he goes, oh, hey, I like your choice in fashion. I was like, that's awesome!
Nice.
Yeah, super cool.
Now maybe we should talk about the album a little bit
more. We should. Like I said, dicking off this
album. Yeah, favorite track.
Favorite track? To me, Weightless. Track 8.
Weightless?
Track 8. I don't know why, it's just... The groove in that song is absolutely perfect, and just his vocal delivery sets it off. Standout, that's one of my standout tracks. Fragile Bird, obviously, is a standout track. And I'd have to say, what's the name of that song?
I'm trying to remember the name of the second song on there.
Oh, Natural Disaster.
Yeah.
Natural Disaster is a good one. The one after that, Grand Optimist.
Them.
Those are my three standout tracks. Grand Optimist, Weightless, and Fragile Bird.
I have to say, I'm an absolute sucker for great opening songs.
Oh, yeah. That is a perfect opening song.
Yeah. I Found You in the Dark.
We found each other in the dark, sir. Beautiful.
I'm a sucker for great opening tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And We Found Each Other in the Dark is a fantastic opening track. So, that song... You know, since it's the beginning song, just sucked me right into the entire album.
Oh, yeah.
Just set the tone for the entire album for me.
This is one of those albums that I knew immediately that I was going to love because I completely, like, got lost in the record. Like, certain bands can do that for me. Like, Thrice has done it for me. The Moving Mountains record did it for me.
Oh, yeah.
And this record. Just kind of peaceful. Just the first line, I was just like,
You can go pee after
this. I'm going to go pee.
Favorite track, Jesse?
Favorite track? Oh, I like Natural Disasters.
Natural Disaster.
I forget the name of that one. I just like, I don't know. Like, I listen to the, you know, of course you listen to the first track.
Yeah.
And just sets it all. I'm always like, all right, what else does this record have coming at me, you know? And I'm always anticipating that second song. And I was listening to that second song. I kept hearing the piano in the background. I was like, oh my God, I fucking love this piano in the background.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. I love Fragile Bird.
Yep.
I like how kind of groovy they got.
They definitely got really groovy on that. Yeah. And also, if you notice, they use the same. Yeah, you can go piss. You can totally go take a piss.
Oh, I thought I was going right here.
Oh, well, that's fine, too. Oh, just not on the fan.
Just not on the fan or my feet. But if you listen to the record, it's totally, like, lyrically, they keep referring to each other later on.
It all runs congruently.
Towards the end of the record, you start hearing lines from, I think, like, from the very beginning of the record. You're like, okay.
No. I like what he's doing here. Yeah.
It's almost like, to me, like, when they, like, refer to older lyrics in the song, it kind of almost gives that, like, concept album kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
That everything absolutely is cohesive.
Yeah.
And
I don't know that it is a concept album.
I don't think it is.
No.
I don't think it is.
Really. I think it's just, like, I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah.
But you're right. It, like, runs, like, congruently every song. Mm-hmm. And then, like, at the end, it just comes back. It's like a whole...
Yeah.
What word am I looking for here? Like, Fuck My Life is what it is.
it just comes full circle every time.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree, Jesse, that like how this record, how like if you listen to it lyrically, he starts making references to the parts of the song that's earlier in the record, and it just kind of comes full circle and gives it gives that feel that it's kind of like a concept album, but I don't think it is.
I don't think it is either.
But like, it has that feel.
It has that concept album feel.
Yeah, it has that concept album feel to where it's like, oh, okay, everything's tying together.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a reprise almost.
It's brilliant.
Oh, totally.
It's absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
This is the second UTC approved album.
Moving Mountains, definitely stamped UTC approved. Yeah.
City and Color.
I don't think anybody in this room will disagree with that.
City and Color, a little hell.
I think if you don't like this record, you don't deserve to be able to be alive. You don't get that right.
I'm pretty sure I will say this with everything I have in me. If you do not like the new City and Color record, you are a soulless cunt.
I think we can all agree on that.
I can agree.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think we can all... I think that should be posted.
That should be posted. That is going to be posted.
And,
Tumblr reviews.
Joe, since this is your album, you are required to write the review in words.
I will do that when I get back to the house. Once again, underthecircle.tumblr.com.
Yes.
Follow us.
We'll be posting it and stuff. You'll be able to see what we're writing.
Yeah. We'll put, for those of you that don't have Tumblr, which is probably like Jesse and like four other people in the world. We'll be putting links to it on the Facebook.
Yep.
I'll put a direct link on there, or whoever does the review or the post on there at that time. We'll put the link up there so you guys can click on it, read what we have to say.
Yeah.
Listen to
tonight. I'm going to be writing a review for Remembering Paris.
Yeah.
We're not going to do the talking about review. I don't know that everyone has had a chance to really indulge into that album.
I've downloaded it. I've listened to it a couple of times.
Yeah.
I can't confidently speak about it right now.
I've listened to it multiple times. I listened to it yesterday.
Yeah.
But I feel like I might be the only person here who can confidently speak about that record right now.
We'll speak about it
next week. So that's homework for you guys.
Kind of
really listen to
it back around.
Yeah.
Yes, we'll be doing Touche Amore.
Yeah, Touche Amore. Yeah.
As much as I love that record, I might want to change an album.
Oh, really?
Okay.
I kind of want to do Fucked Up's new record.
Oh, yeah, the new Fucked Up record. I completely forgot about that. Yes, yeah. Okay.
Because okay. I've been listening to the shit.
Okay, well, then I'll do Touche Amore next week, and I'll do Remember Paris. Yeah. I'll do them both, whatever. Okay.
All right.
Or if you want to do take one of them, you can too.
I mean, I can... I don't know. We'll talk about that.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, that's a good idea. Fucked Up's new record is...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great idea, yeah.
I need to get the new Fucked Up record.
Yeah, so... That's good. I didn't even think about doing that.
Yeah, I completely spaced that they were even releasing a new record. That's
yeah.
awesome.
Cool. But yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, we have that's UTC approved City UTC and Color, approved, Little Hell.
Yes.
Stamp that. Go kill yourself if you don't like it.
If you don't like it, soulless content.
Slit your wrist right now. Because I hate you.
Because you have no soul.
Oh, and I want to bring up something else, too. Me and Jesse, I think it was a couple weeks ago. I don't know if it was in a week or a couple weeks ago. We went to Jared's.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For his, he had...
Our Life Story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking fun, magical right? time.
Yeah, he's talking
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, well, that's what I want to talk about. Jared Hine from Facts of Life, that he had... he was supposed to set up a show for Our Life Story... and Facts of Life,
and with Honors and Modern Hearts,
and unfortunately, you know, couldn't get into a basement, couldn't get into the Hoosier Dome, I think he tried the dojo too.
Something was going on that night at the dojo.
So what he decided to do was have an acoustic show with Our Life Story at his house,
yeah,
in his backyard, on his back porch, yeah.
It was fun,
and couldn't have turned out any better, like.
Yeah.
Couldn't have turned out any better. Our Life Story, it was absolutely hilarious. Like, they're awesome dudes. Yeah. And, you know, of course there were some, you know, fuck-ups and stuff like that. Well, but, like, what are you going to do? It was absolutely hilarious. It was good. The music was really good.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, you could enjoy the fuck-ups. Like, they were one of the things, like, that would, like, really brought the show to, like, life,
yeah,
and made it all that more fun. It was absolutely a great time. Facts of Life played some acoustic songs.
I saw pictures of
that. Yeah, that was fucking hilarious. They are the worst acoustic band. They are the worst acoustic band I have ever seen. But that could make them the best.
Yeah. It was so weird, but you have to like it.
It was, that's exactly what, it was so odd, and like, and you could tell that they had just never even rehearsed. It was good, it was so bad that it was just epic.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I loved it. I thought it was awesome, and Jared, and, you know, we got on Jared after that, when things started winding down and stuff, like, you know, you need to fucking do more of these, like, pronto.
Oh, yeah.
And, so I think he's, you know, cause it wasn't just me, like, everyone was like, Jared, why aren't you doing this all the fucking time, man?
Yeah, yeah.
And, so he's trying to set up another one right now. He got it, Chad.
Yeah, he got it, Chad. I'm not sure if they agreed, but I hope that they do.
Oh, yeah. This Is Me Acoustic.
This is Me Acoustic. Chad's done a lot of acoustic shows.
Chad said it would be fun, and it is fun. It's good to have grilled out, chill.
Yeah, basketball goals.
Yeah.
Grilled stuff.
Fucking great time.
Oh, yeah. Like, I definitely fully support that 100%. Yeah. Just, I love those type of, like, acoustic shows where it's not even really a show.
No.
It's more of just, hey, come over here and hang out.
Let's get some friends together.
Come hang out.
Drink Kmart brand Mountain Dew.
Drink some Big K Mountain Dew. Mountain Lightning and some Dr. Thunder.
Yeah.
And let's rage out in the backyard. Have some bands play some acoustic sets. Grill out.
Yeah.
Just have fun.
It was a great time.
Probably that should be the new thing now for, like, summertime shows.
It should.
Is have that.
Yeah.
Bonfire acoustic shows. It'd be awesome.
It was awesome. It was a fucking great time.
Oh, yeah.
So props to Jared for that.
Jared, I know you're listening to this. Do another one. Hell, I'm going to say it right out here in the open. Let's broadcast from one.
We'll fucking do it, yeah.
Let's broadcast from one. We'll just get...
There were a few kids there who had heard our podcast and stuff. Awesome. Yeah, and
totally.
And want to get on, so...
Totally,
you know,
yeah, dude. So
I think we could definitely do that. We could broadcast from one of Jared's cookouts. The next one he has, if it's okay with him.
Oh, I honestly don't see why it would be a problem. Totally. I'm gonna text that fool right now. Being like, yo, we up in your backyard.
Yeah. So
hey, boy, hey,
get out there and that's something we could have. We could, you know, be there and with everybody, and you know, there was like 20. Kids there, you know, getting that many people involved in the podcast at one time, I think would be really, really cool.
It'd be super cool, yeah. Like, we had talked about doing it.
Just
shows.
Fucking rage.
At shows where we just set up and just, like, have kids just come walking in and, you know, talking, like, oh, what's up?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Stand up like,
except we'll be on a back porch just fucking congregated, eating, fucking slopping our faces.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah.
Sorry, man, I'm eating this veggie burger. Hold on a second.
So, fucking... Yeah, Jared should definitely have one. This Is Me should play acoustically. Chad.
Yeah.
And we should just fucking rage and have a good fucking time.
Oh, absolutely.
And get fucking jacked up on Pepsi Cola.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that was one thing I definitely wanted to say for this podcast. And touche to Jared. And, you know, and Cray and Chris, you know, all coming out, and even Mitch. New Metal Mitch.
That's awesome bass playing.
Yeah, dude, he did some mouth bass playing, which was fucking hysterical. That kid has a direct line to my funny bone, I swear to God.
He's the weirdest little fucker I've ever met in my life. I love
him to death. Yeah,
so fucking weird.
Yeah, but, yeah, fucking huge success. And, you know, we made pretty good friends with Our Life Story, who are really, really, really cool individuals.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of cool bands, I was going to mention this earlier. I just remembered after you talking about these bands. A couple weeks ago, I went to a show. It was Modern Hearts and With Honors. Facts of Life was supposed to play it, but Chris had like 104 fever.
Yeah.
Only three people paid for this show. Myself, my friend Mariah, and Riley from With Honor's girlfriend, I think. Were the only three people that paid. But there are these two touring bands from Texas. Thieves and Fingers Crossed. Awesome. Awesome bands, dude. Thieves, literally, it's like... It's set your goals, but a four-piece, and they play like the Chariot.
Ooh.
They're just throwing their shit around. Their singer looks like a mixture of Spike Jones and the singer of Moneen. Because he's a little bitty dude playing a telly, so he looks like the dude from Moneen. But if you look at him kind of close in the face, it's like, wow, you're Spike Jones from Jackass. High five, what's up? Their guitar player, Chris, I believe is his name, has the most expensive gear I've ever seen in a pop punk band. Like $2,500 PRS guitar, like $3,000 in pedals, a $3,500 H&K head, and an orange cap.
God, I hate him.
And I was literally like, everybody in With Honors and Modern Hearts and me were like, just like, no!
Like, this is not allowed here.
Yeah, this dude's like, doing like crazy posse jumps, throwing his stuff around. I'm like, dude, that's gonna break. Don't drop that shit.
Don't do it.
And they're super cool guys. I'm gonna do a written review of the Thieves record, and I'm gonna do a review for Fingers Crossed too.
Awesome.
Here in the next couple of weeks. So definitely get on Facebook, look those guys up, and tell them that that Joe from Under the Circle sent you. They'll be like, oh, shit, what's up? Yeah, that dude was rad, raging it up. But yeah, and tell those dudes to come back to Indy. I've been fighting those guys since I saw that show. Like, dude, skip tour. I know Austin, Texas is awesome, a lot more awesome than Indy, I know, but just move here so we can hang out. I don't want to leave because I'm lazy.
Yeah. Like, Fuck yeah. That sounds awesome.
Oh, okay. Totally, yeah.
Throwing out shout-outs to bands.
Throwing out shout-outs this week. Oh, and Jared just texted me, and I said, hey, next show at your house, let UTC do a podcast from your house. And he said, hell yeah, I'm down. So we'll be invading Jared Hines' backyard in Greenwood the next time he has a show.
Fucking A, we will.
Fucking A, we will. You had a...
Should we do it on the first or second story of his dick?
Yeah, he's got a dual-story dick. Let's do it on the top deck. Let's do a presidential
show. Okay, yeah, fuck yeah.
Come upstairs and come talk to us. We're better than you. We're by the grill.
Yeah.
We're by the grill. Joe's eating ribs being a fat ass. What?
Justin's living his flabby man-boobed existence over there watching Joey.
Jesse and Justin are eating ribs, watching Joe eat ribs. He's sucking the bone clean. God.
Justin's drooling.
Jesse's laughing and taking pictures. I'm pretty sure he's going to Photoshop those rib bones out and he's going to put
dicks on.
Dicks.
Oh, man, we're too fucking ate up.
So,
is it that time?
You had an announcement.
Is it that time?
You had an announcement.
Time for the announcement. It's kind of a bit of troubling news.
Oh, no.
Yeah. July 8th, I am moving to Chicago.
Oh.
Yeah. I am moving to Chicago, Illinois on July 8th. July 8th isn't, it's almost official. That's my plan right now, July 8th, to be moved to Chicago. It could be mid-July, but no later than the 1st of August. I will be living in Chicago. And I know that poses problems to this podcast. And this is my baby. Yeah. You know. And I don't want to see it not being done anymore.
Oh, yeah.
I want this to continue.
I totally want
And to see I it. Still want to be a part of it.
Okay.
But I'm not sure how.
Okay.
Because I can't come up to, you know, down here to Indy every Sunday. Yeah. And, you know, we run everything off my computer here.
Yeah.
And I can't leave this here, unfortunately. So I wanted to, you know, hear from you guys, you know, what are the options? Because I, you know, and you guys can tell me, you know, the leave, you know, right off into the pasture and you guys can take care of this. And I would be completely okay with that. This, just as long as I could be involved in some sort of facet.
Yeah.
Writing reviews and stuff
that.
I don't know. Whatever you guys can come up with to keep me involved.
Yeah.
Because this is my baby, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, you know, sitting on beanbag chair eating Cheetos, I thought about, you know, doing this podcast, you know.
Yeah.
And it's it's a good thing for this scene and for the people in this scene. And I don't want to see.
We're definitely going to keep it going, dude. It's not going to be a problem at all. What we can do. Trying to think here.
Definitely not going to be a problem to write reviews.
But I don't want me to leave and you guys not do this anymore. That's my thing.
Well, yeah. That's not going to be a problem.
Yeah.
I will find a way to get some sort of recording thing together so we can keep doing the shows. Trying to think here.
It's kind of troubling, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little...
Yeah, I knew this time was going to come. I've been planning on moving to Chicago for basically since I graduated college.
Yeah.
And I knew the time was going to come, and it just turns out that now is just the best time for me to to pack up my bags, and you know, I'm still going to love this scene and the people here.
Yeah.
But it's time for me to sort of venture out.
Definitely, for sure.
You know, and it's nothing against, you know, I want to get out of Indiana. I do.
Yeah.
And it's not, And if it wasn't for this scene here in Indiana, I would have been gone a long time ago.
Right, yeah.
And the people I've met through this scene, you know, like Swan and everyone in Facts of Life and,
and
you know, people from college that I keep in touch with. But it has to happen for me. I have to get out. I have to broaden my horizons.
Yeah.
And that does not mean I won't be helping, you know, any indie bands, any Indiana bands. You know, I plan on going down there and whoring myself out to, you know, concert promoters and booking bands from Indy to come to Chicago.
Right, yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. But I still do want to be a part of this podcast. And whatever ways you guys can think of to keep me involved, as far as, I mean, like, you know, even like Skyping into the podcast, you know.
Yeah, we can
whatever. I just don't. I know that we run all this from my computer here, so I don't know how.
Yeah, we can.
You guys plan on taking care of that?
Yeah, I'm gonna look tonight, and I'm gonna get some recording software.
I want this train to keep rolling.
Oh, it's gonna keep rolling. Yeah, it's gonna keep rolling one way or another.
It needs to keep rolling.
Whether we just transform it, you know, from, you know, podcast to, you know, Tumblr for a while.
Yeah.
Just do Tumblr stuff for a while.
People need to hear your voice, man.
But yeah. Like, just for a bit until I can get shit together for it.
But
yeah, like, other than that, I don't see it stopping.
Yeah.
So
I don't want it to.
Yeah, we're definitely gonna keep this train rolling, man.
And if you guys get famous, I still want royalties.
What was your idea? So yeah,
but yeah, that was, you know, kind of a big announcement. So
yeah, we're definitely gonna keep the ball rolling. Like, if I have anything to say about it, we'll
figure something out. I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll definitely figure it out.
And if they have ideas, they can.
Yeah, if you guys, you know.
If anybody has any ideas.
If any of you are more technologically sound than us, which we aren't.
If anybody out there has any, you know, recording equipment that listens to us, that wants us to keep going, please get at me.
Yeah.
Or anybody here, really.
This train needs to keep rolling. Yeah.
Basically, anyone with a MacBook and GarageBand.
Yeah, that's what all we run this off
of. That's all we run this on. It's a $20 microphone and GarageBand. So if anybody has that wants to keep this going, get at us. You know, I will gladly pay you. I will give you $20 a month to sit and listen to me ramble for an hour. Like, I totally will. The first of every month, I will give you $20 to record this.
Yeah. But yeah.
I'm dead serious about that.
This is basically, this podcast and the people here have been the only thing, you know, holding me back from already being gone.
Yeah.
But it has to happen, so.
Yeah.
This has just been too fun. I love doing this. I love people listening to me. I'm an attention whore. So, and I don't want that to stop, but, you know, it is a problem.
Yeah, it is a problem. So we're definitely gonna try everything in our power to keep it going.
Yeah.
Whether I have to, you know, after I get everything squared away, whether I have to go out and buy a MacBook. Or find a shitty Windows equivalent to some sort of recording thing that's not, you know, garbage.
But yeah, is that all we have for today then?
That's all. I mean, I've got a
few shows you want to talk about.
Yeah. I got some shows here. I got for this week. I've got some shows that have been given me. I've got a lot of fucking shows, actually.
Read them off, brother.
Read them off. All right. Well, the first one that I have is about the bands in Indianapolis doing the Waking Up the Nap thing. Let's see. What's this one? Oh, this is... I'll do it anyway, even though we don't always support the Emerson.
It's fine. We support bands.
Yeah, we support bands, yeah. Well. June 16th at the Emerson Theater. Let's see, we have Lorna Shore, Of Virtue, Sentinel, Awaken, O Sleeper, They Say Redeemer, Valcalor, and Rise to Fall. That is June 16th at the Emerson. Let me see if there's a price on that. No, there's not.
Okay.
There's not a price on the
it'll probably be $10-$12.
$8 to $10. Yeah. You know, normal show thing, whatever. June 17th,
He is, or let's see, hold on. Nope, that's wrong one. Let me go back. There we go. Okay. June 17th, ES Jungle. That's Friday night, June 17th. We've got Skurb Club Records and Hero House Comics present the Declaration of Independence Tour. That's pretty awesome. It's an all-ages show, starts at 6:30. And this goes out to, like the cosplayers, like Comic-Con type people. Like, it's $5 if you enter in as wearing a costume, $5, $7 if you don't. Powerlifter, Shammers and Left Hand from Bloomington, Mad Hatter, Shinobi Onibako. it's a band from Orlando, Florida. Dual Core from Ohio, Super Villains, Soup or Villains.
Huh.
From South Bend, and Dr. Awkward from San Diego.
Hopefully they don't sound like Dr. Acula.
I honestly don't think that anyone could sound like Dr. Acula. Even Dr. Acula doesn't want to sound like Dr. Acula. Let's see, we've got a bar show here. Visions bar show. It's Prosomnia, Viseria, Project Hero, and Altum at Visions on the 17th. On the 18th, Pound Fest 2 at High on the Hill, in the Speedway area. $5, and it's an all fucking day long show. Starts at 11:30 in the morning, and it's only $5. That's pretty sweet.
That's pretty fucking sweet.
Yeah, if you're into metal, that's pretty awesome. Let me give a rundown of bands here. We got a Biorhythm, Nautilus, The Heathens, Haruspex, Awaken of Sleeper, Atlas, By the Shores of Acheron, Room Colored Charlatan, Discard the Body, Run Amok, Regicide, Umbilical Chain, Threat Level, Max, and Vires.
Wow.
So, yeah, huge show this coming Saturday. Out in Greenfield, there's the Barnyard Beatdown Music Fest.
I like Beatdown.
Wolves of the Divine, I Will Define, We Came From Nowhere, The Day After, Breaking New Lines, D. Bane, never heard of him before, Mantra Noise, of Wolves and Angels, By the Swords of Acheron, Rose Maylee, As the Fallen Rise, which is their CD release show, and Forevermore. Let's see, it's a $3 admission, the new CD is going to be $12 at that show. Obviously, I bet it's a full length.
I hope so.
Another show on June 18th at Reggie's Place. It's Ratstorm, Ifurate, and the Fury Swipes. Sweet House Show. Ratstorm rules. If you guys haven't listened to them. Oh, and Scumbolina. Rockabilly Core. That's what it says.
That's interesting.
Yeah. That's...
When is that?
That is the 18th. At 7 o'clock. Oh, there's a show on the 16th that I missed on Thursday. It's in Plainfield at the Souls Harbor Assembly of God Church. It's Forevermore, Ironsides, Who I Am on Thursday, and When All Hope Fails, I'm sorry. $5 at the door. Show starts at 6. Let me see. I got a couple more here. Hometown Heroes show on the 17th. The Alliance Agency's putting it together. It's $8 pre-sales. You've got Amarna Rain, Gamma Pulse, Dismiss the Serpent, Venable, We Came From Nowhere, and Of Sights and Sounds. The entire show will be hosted and have guest appearances by Viega and Jay Lotto doing some stuff during that. There's a couple other ones here. I've got the free... $3 throwdown.
Free $3?
Yeah, $3 donation or whatever. Mm. It's there's a new venue on the west side of Indy called the Panic Room. Josh, the singer of Cadences, runs that on Lafayette Road. Let's see, doors will open at 8. There's going to be a little party before the show. If you come before 7, you can get into that. It's free admission, but anytime after the first band starts, it's $3. You know, I don't.
So
this is what it says.
Oh, okay.
It's gonna be like a donation kind of thing. I guess.
So if you're just late, you have to pay $3.
No, I don't think it's. I must have read that wrong because I don't. I read that.
Just bring $3 fucking.
Just in case. we're just gonna say it's a $3 show.
Just bring $3 fucking.
Forevermore cadences as Fallen Rise by the Shores of Acheron and more. At the Panic Room on Lafayette Road.
Awesome.
We'll be posting that up, and I got one last one here. I know I've been taking up way too much time.
It's all good.
On the 18th at the ES Jungle. When All Hope Fails, Don't Call It a Comeback, and Wings of a Martyr. The 18th at 6:30. Let me see. Logan Long is doing some stuff, doing an acoustic set. And Scumbelina is on that show, too, $7. So we'll be posting those on the Facebook and the Tumblr. So if you guys kind of tuned me out here at the end, we'll post a list of the shows. just to, you know, let you guys know what's going on this week, and yep. We'll be doing that every week too. So,
yeah, that's all we got for today.
That's it. That's the
almost an hour and 40 minutes today.
Almost an hour and 40 minutes. Yeah, yeah, I figured we'd go long.
Yeah,
you know, figured
it's been a couple weeks.
Yeah, weeks. Anyways, that's it for me. I don't have anything else to say.
I've really got nothing else to add here. So yeah, that's thanks again for listening this week. For Under the Circle, I'm Joe Harris.
Jesse Goforth.
Justin Saylor.
Have a good week, guys. Take it easy.
Have a week.
Have a week.